at Slippery Rock University's Mahalik Thompson Stadium. The Rock at halftime up 27-7. And, boy, we talked, Glenn, going into the break about how impressive the Slippery Rock University defense has been today, limiting Gannon to 85 total yards. And on their last six drives in the opening half, Gannon has been held to negative 22 yards. Negative.
To go six drives and net out a negative 22 yards? Oh, is that bad? I mean, that's great defense. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that's terrific job by the Rock. But, wow, that's I can't say I've ever seen anything like that as far as just a truly dominating performance by a defensive unit against an offense. And, well, we saw it there on the last six possessions of that first half.
So Gannon scored on their opening drive of the day, and that has been virtually it. 44 passing yards, 41 rushing yards. They have kept Marcus Jones, the big running back, in check. 10 carries for a total of 1 yard at this particular moment. So, and a couple of exciting notes to pass along to you. You know, we had Jake Chaplin go 2 for 3 in that opening half as far as field goals go. And at this particular point, that gives him 34 in his career. 34, which is one behind both C.J. Barr and Morgan Anderson for the all-time career record. And he's got a lot more time yet to go, Lord willing, for Jake Chaplin here at Slippery Rock University. But C.J. Barr from 2007 to 2010, as good as he was, he had 35 field goals. Morgan Anderson back in the 1990s, part of those championship teams, also had 35. So Jake's right on their heels right now with 34. He's also on the verge of a field goal season record as well. He has 12 right now, and that's two behind the all-time leader. And as far as extra points go in a season, he now has 50. He had 53 last year, so some other records could be broken or set by Jake Chaplin.
And the up-and-down season in the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference Western Division continues as Mercyhurst is up on Clarion 14-7 in the fourth quarter. Cal only up 7 over Seton Hill in the fourth quarter, and IUP barely holds on to win against Edinburgh 13-6. So it's been a crazy year all year in the Western Division, and well, this last Saturday no different as the wind blows the ball off the tee. But more importantly, Bob, we get ready to start the third quarter here, and more of the same. You know, I want to see that defense continue to play with that same grind, that same heart, continue to dominate the line of scrimmage. You know, at least through the third quarter here, you know, if you can get two more scores here in the third, then maybe you can start to rest some guys. But, you know, for the most part, stick with what you're doing and more of the same here in the third.
It's A.J. Satcher back deep along with Melvin Blanks for the kickoff. Gannon is going to get the ball first, and this time they take it in the middle of the end zone and take the knee, does Blanks. So obviously, well, rehearsed and versed from his coaches, I'm sure, from the last time, bringing it out and losing his team 10 yards. But they'll take it at the 25 to start the second half. The Rock up 27-7. So let's see what the Gannon Golden Knights are able to do this particular half against this Rock defense, as Tim Vernick has led the way with 7 tackles. He's had a half tackle for a loss. Jeff Marks, 4 tackles. 1 sack as well. They're going to come out with that dual back look with Callaway in the middle of the shotgun. And here's the snap. And it's going to be play action and a throw downfield and a wide receiver wide open on the far sideline. It's caught. Gannon finally getting positive yardage as they come out of the gate and throw it deep. And a big gainer hit Richard Mikowski. He was all alone, got on the backside. And moves Gannon after one play deep into Rock territory.
Mark Carter got caught looking in the backfield. So he's watching the action in the backfield, thinks it's a handoff, and just loses track of his wide receiver. And he goes down the field behind him. So as a defensive back, especially a corner, you know, you got to stay on your man. You can't get caught looking in the backfield like that.
56 yards, and it's at the 20-yard line now. Now Callaway going to keep it. He didn't even fake the pitch, just turned it up inside, but picks up 3 yards down to the, let's say, the 16-yard line, actually. So he'll pick up a long 3.
I'm not sure what he saw or thought he saw, because he had a nice little convoy heading out to the left there with Marcus Jones as a pitch-out option and decides to cut it upfield and only gets 3 yards out of it.
So it's second down. And the same look in the backfield. Callaway, the center of two backs. He takes the snap. It's a high when he pulls it down. Play action. Throws it. Has his man who's knocked silly by Mark Carter after pulling it in. That receiver was Nico Law. But he gets it to the 10-yard line. It'll be third and short.
Yeah, that's how you throw a shoulder into somebody. That's a clean hit. Shoulder to shoulder. Nice contact. Didn't leave with the crown of the helmet or anything. So just a good, hard football play. Nice play by Carter.
6-yard grab. It makes it third and one. They'll have to get to the 9-yard line in order to get the first down. Just underway, second half. A big play for Gannon right out of the gate. Here's the snap. Callaway. And he'll hand it off to Jones. He's stuffed. He loses another yard.
Tristan McDonald fires in there off the snap. Wraps up Jones around the ankles. The rest of the defense gets there and brings him down. But play absolutely made by Tristan McDonald firing in there.
That'll make it fourth down and three. And let's see. They're going to go for it.
Yeah, the offense is staying on the field.
27-7 the score. Gannon with their first drive of the half. And they're going to go for it on fourth down. Mark Jones will be the sidecar left with trip receivers to the top side. Now they're going to bring Jacardi Brooks to the near side, and he'll be trailed by the Rocks.
Yeah,
there was a lot of confusion
by the Gannon offense.
Wow.
So Ruzicki has to call a timeout and make sure everyone's on the same page.
So first timeout burned within the first 2.5 minutes of the second half. Now it'll be fourth down and three at the 12-yard line. So a timeout called, as they just could not get their act together to get lined up on that particular play.
I'm not saying you would get Gannon to quit by any means, but, man, after they come out here, move the ball in the first possession like this, and if they have to walk away with no points, boy, that'd be tough for this offensive unit to take. That's why, you know, if I'm Coach Ruzicki, maybe you just kick your field goal just to let them feel, okay, we got some points on the board. You know, we got something. Going for here on fourth and three, if they come out empty-handed, man, that's going to be discouraging for these guys.
Well, the first person off the field out of the huddle on the timeout was the kicker, Brian Streibel. He turns around and walks off the field. So here comes Gannon's offense back on. And they're going to bring the Wildcat look in now.
Yes, they are.
Mark Jones is going to take the snap. He's got the sidecar of Zevin Hawley. Here's the snap. Jones going to run it forward. And he gets into the pile, pushes it, gets it. Inside the 10, down to the 8. He gets the first down by 1 yard thanks to second and third effort.
Yeah, does a nice job of just following the lead blocker, the other back, Melvin Blanks, that was in the backfield. Lets him get up to the line of scrimmage and then just goes right off his backside through the guard center gap and gets the first down, as you said, just by a yard.
So first and goal at the 8-yard line. Callaway will come back in. Now sidecar left will be Jones. He's in the pistol, is Callaway. Number 34 is the quarterback. Here's the snap. He hands it off. No, he keeps it. And he's going to be wrapped up in the backfield by Tristan McDonald, but he'll escape to get the ball back over the 10. He'll lose a yard to the 9.
One thing that's kind of making me scratch my head a little bit about Callaway and his play, he does know who he's got in the backfield, right? I mean, Marcus Jones is one of the premier runners in the conference, yet Callaway continually pulls the ball back and keeps it himself.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a quarterback. I'm just feeding 9 all day.
Well, he feeds him this time, and Jones goes in and runs into Dalton Holt. But that only stops him at the 4-yard line, just inside the 5, after a 5-yard carry by number 9, and that's one of the biggest carries he's had all day. In fact, that will be the longest carry of the day. So it'll be third and goal to the 4-yard line. And they're going to have trip receivers up top. On the near side comes Jacardi Brooks again. They've been using a lot of the same looks, not a lot of differential. Left is the sidecar. Jones to Callaway, who takes the snap, and he looks to throw. Now he's going to keep it. He's kicked out, and here comes the Rock Green in right pursuit, and they're going to snow him under at the 11-yard line. He ran into the awaiting arms of Tristan McDonald.
So they put four wideouts on the field and spread out the defense, which is traditionally a pass look, and call the quarterback draw, not fooling anybody. Great discipline by the Rock defense, keeping eyes on Callaway in the backfield and going up there and making the tackle for the loss.
And it's a negative five, so now they're going to bring the field goal unit out. And this will be a, 28-yard attempt, and it's blocked. They're not going to come away with anything as the Rock blocks the kick.
Mark Carter firing in off the edge, gets his hands on that one. Great diving effort and showcasing tremendous speed, because that was just pure speed to get there in time and block that one. And, yeah, that's heartbreaking for the Gannon offense to come away with a goose egg after that drive.
The kick was blocked. Gannon gives the ball back to the Rock with nothing to show. 27-7 remains the score, and that drive took nearly 5 minutes.
You know what I would do?
Throw a bomb. Huh?
Yep. You had a sudden change, big play momentum. Take a shot here. Throw one deep.
Well, let's see what Roland Rivers does as he starts out first and 10 at the 20. And he's going to go play action. Drops back. Looks deep. Looks to throw. Mike Merhot is nearest, but he throws him about 7 yards too deep. Incomplete.
Roland has had a hard time adjusting with the wind at his back so far today. Throwing into the wind, he's been pretty accurate. With the wind at his back, he's overthrown quite a few receivers today. Just needs to realize he's got to take a little bit off it with how strong of a breeze we have going left to right across the field.
And what a response by the Rock defense. They gave up that 56-yard play, and then it was 3 yards, 6 yards, negative one, four, negative one, five, negative five.
Yep.
Here's a handoff to Wes Hills now. He's got some running room. He's going down the sideline. He's going to tuck it back up inside and run into a couple of awaiting Gannon defenders, but stays on his feet, and now is inside the five and is knocked to the end zone. What a run by Wes Hills.
They're going to mark him short. He's down at the one, out of bounds.
Wow.
A.J. Alexander back here at the 30-yard line, gets up the field, blocks the safety, gets him down on the turf, and then actually comes back and gets another block on a linebacker. A.J. Alexander, two huge blocks on that play that sprung Wes Hills. That shows the athleticism of the tight end to be able to get upfield, make a block, come back, get a secondary block, and Wes Hills down the field.
And Reginald Hamlet Jr. caught up with him at about the 30-yard line, 25-yard line, and had a chance to take him down, and Wes just blew right through him. Here's the handoff. Wes Hills finishes it off. He gets in for the touchdown. Wes Hills. It's all him, and it's three touchdowns now on the day for big number four.
After that last run, they better give it to him to try to finish it off. I mean, he did all the work, so he punches that one in, going off of left tackle, and a nice job by the Rock offense. Three plays after forcing a blocked field goal attempt, moving it right down the field and putting six more on the board.
79-yard run, caps it off with the 1 yard plunge, and puts the Rock up 33-7 with the extra point to come. What a day Wes Hills is having. Now goes up to 207 yards, third consecutive game that he has been above the 200 mark. And the extra point is good, so the Rock has taken a 34-7 lead.
I can't say it enough, though, going back to the long run. A.J. Alexander, the blocking he had on that play was so huge to spring Wes Hills. Whenever they're reviewing film tomorrow, A.J. is going to get a nice little pat on the back for that play there.
So the Rock up now. 34-7, Wes Hills with the touchdown, 207 yards on the day for Big Wes Hills on 17 carries. He's averaging a mere 12.2 yards per carry.
That's it, huh?
That's it.
Man. Well, last year's game, Marcus Jones up in Gannon, he himself averaged 13.1 on the day against the Rock defense, and now Wes Hills trying to return the favor this year.
Great, great work, and I see one of the Rock coaches down here on the sideline talking to Aramis Alexander, and he just gave him a big thumbs up, so he is already being recognized for what you just described. So here comes the kickoff from Chepla once again. He's got the wind at his back once again, and he's going to sail this one into the end zone where it's grabbed by A.J. Satcher, and Satcher just takes a knee once again. So it will be a touchback once again. And Gannon will start out first and 10 at their own 25-yard line. Now, they did come out first play from scrimmage after the half. Hit a 56-yard pass play, Callaway hitting Richard Mikalski, but they weren't able to hit pay dirt as a 28-yard field goal attempt was blocked. So here they come now on their second series of the half.
It was Mark Carter that gave up the big play down the sideline, and then Mark Carter that blocked the field goal. So made up for it later, a few plays later.
Well, here we go. Mark Jones will be sidecar to Callaway, who's in the pistol. He steps back into the shotgun and takes the snap. And it will be a handoff trickeration as Jones starts to go to the outside. And on the sweep, Joey Cox takes the pitch, and he is snowed under for a negative yardage play back to the 21-yard line.
Yeah, Chad Kuhn was chasing Marcus Jones from the backside, and whenever they reversed fields, it just ends up falling right into Chad Kuhn's lap, and he's able to make the tackle and get a big loss on first down. And man, Gannon's just been playing behind the sticks so much today. It's so frustrating for an offense.
So now you take away those first three plays of the half in which they picked up 65 yards. They're back to zero after that. Here's a high snap pulled down by Callaway. He's going to throw it across the middle. Has his man. It's in and out of his hands. That was number 28. Did I see a flag fly?
No, there's a guy with yellow shoes out there.
Trey McNeil was the intended receiver, and that went all for naught.
Perfectly timed play by Kyle Hall getting in there and disrupting the receiver right as the ball got there, knocks it loose, and it falls incomplete. So Kyle Hall, you know, we haven't heard much from him today just because we haven't had to because they haven't gotten the ball that far downfield, but there's number seven there making a big play.
So third down and 14 now for Gannon. Here's the snap. Callaway drops back, has time, throws. As he throws it, he's hit, and it's going to be intercepted by Kyle Hall, who pulls it in at his 40, retreats back to the 30. Now he's going to recover, gets out of a tackle. He's back across the 40, across the 50, and is hit as he crosses into rock territory, and maybe a bit of a late hit there.
Not maybe, definitely, but it's not going to be called.
And it hurt his own man.
Yep.
He landed on top of one of his own men, and he's slow to get up. That's number 74, Aaron Britton, who took the brunt of that. Now, here comes the flag.
But I think what the flag's going to be is it's going to be against the Slippery Rock sideline. I mean, it absolutely was a late hit. Should have been a penalty against Gannon. But with how this all just happened, I think Slippery Rock sideline can get called for a penalty here.
And it was Mac Chambers, offensive lineman, who came in well after Kyle Hall was down and jumped on him, but really taking the brunt of it was his own man. And now they call the penalty on, did they say Tim Vernick?
Yeah, they said 45. I mean, that's such a blatant miss of a late hit, which, whatever. That's frustrating, but it is what it is. You're going to have the Rock offense, again, with great starting field position. Kyle Hall, the moves he showed on that return, man. Jeez. First of all, great job of turning into a wide receiver and chasing that ball downfield, making the catch over the shoulder. And then the moves that he put on to get back across midfield, terrific return. After they mark off the penalty yardage, it's still going to be at the Slippery Rock 43. Still a good field position.
Yeah, Kyle Hall returned at 17 yards, but it's basically going to go back to right about where he actually picked the ball off. So here's a handoff. Here's Braden Fuffman. He's into the game now. He takes the first down carry, picks up 7 to the 50.
And after Wes Hills has compiled 200-plus yards and some touchdowns today, looks like Braden Fuffman might get a chance to get in here and get some carries.
Well, deserved rest for Wes Hills, who stands on the sideline now, probably done for the day more than likely. And it'll be a second and 3, and it's Fuffman who takes the handoff. He's got the first down, puts his head down, and is tackled at the 46-yard line, but he's got the necessary yardage to move the sticks. First down into Gannon territory is the Rock at the 7:33 mark of this third quarter, up 34-7.
Not nearly the size of Wes Hills, but Braden Fuffman, a very similar runner to Wes Hills, where he sees the gap and he hits it hard, man. You know, he doesn't doesn't dance. He doesn't do a lot of shiftiness in the backfield. He just gets upfield and gets positive yardage.
Yeah, you definitely see the difference. West Hill 6'2", 218. Braden is 5'8", 185, but he runs. He runs big. Here's Roland Rivers. He's going downfield. Has Dakota Clannigan, and he shortened it too much. Dakota tries to come back for it, dives for it, and he just couldn't wrap his arms underneath the ball. It's incomplete.
And that's enough to make a coaching staff worry because Roland Rivers got planted as he delivered that ball downfield. He's up. Looks like he's got his hands on his hips, a little shook a little bit, but he'll be all right.
He's shrugging it off as he looks to the sideline, and that almost is a look of disgust for Roland. He knows he had very likely a touchdown grab there if he hits Clannigan and just couldn't quite get him, even though he has the wind to his back right now, and it's a strong wind. It's now 2nd and 10. Here's Fuffman, and he's going to be hit behind the line of scrimmage. A good job there by the Gannon defensive back, Reginald Hamlet Jr., who comes in, and he nails Fuffman at the 49, drops him back for 4 yards.
Yeah, not only does he diagnose the play, but he avoids all of the blockers and just comes free for a shot on Fuffman. So really strong play there from the defensive back.
That'll make it 3rd and 14. Actually, let's see. Yeah, 3rd and 14.
Yeah, that's about right. 3rd and 13.
From the 49 for the Rock, they're in Gannon territory. Here's the snap. Rivers drops back. He's got time. He throws. Has Henry Litwin for a first down and more. Catches it at the 34-yard line, and he goes forward to the 30 before he's wrapped up and then carries the pile further down to the 26-yard line.
Gannon defenders more concerned about trying to strip that ball away from Litwin than making the tackle, and because of it, he gets another 8 or 9 yards downfield.
So first down, grab by Henry Litwin, number 11. And the Rock moves the chains again. Now they're deep into Gannon territory to the 26-yard line. 1st and 10, 5th play of the drive. Here's the snap. Rivers throws it high for Zach Cirillo, and he has to kind of reach up to grab it. He gets a yard out of it, but, boy, Roland just not threading the needle like he has in previous games so far today.
Yeah, that one a little high and just a little bit behind Cirillo, and so he has to make this awkward adjustment on it, and because of it loses all forward momentum and gets pretty hard hit too. And one thing to note, not sure if it's anything real serious or not, but we have Tristan McDonald down here on the trainer's table getting some attention as well.
It's like some work on a leg there. Here's Rivers. He's on the keeper, and he goes into the pile, spins down to the 22-yard line, and picks up a nominal 3 yards.
Looks like we maybe have a Gannon player down.
Looks like he's on one knee at this particular moment. Now he gets up. He's going to walk off under his own power.
You know, this is the first real cold game that we've had so far this year, and you know, hits on a day like today, just they hurt a little bit more, you know, like the body's just a little bit sore, a little bit more tight, and you know, big time collisions just sting you a little bit more today.
Tristan McDonald is off the trainer's table and looks like he's ready to go. He just looked like he was getting stretched out there a bit, and the Rock going to be faced with a 3rd and 6 now at the Gannon 22-yard line. They need to get down to the 16-yard line to get the first down here. About 34-7, 4:56 mark of the third quarter. The Rock going to be hosting Westchester next week in the state championship game. It'll be right here, same time, same place, and Mahalik Thompson Stadium. In motion goes Braden Fuffman. And they fake the screen. Now they throw to the end zone. And wide open, Jermaine Wynn Jr. Slippery Rock touchdown from 22 yards out. That time, Roland Rivers threaded the needle.
Yet another wrinkle off of a formation that they've been running today. This time, they motion Fuffman out. And Rivers gives a really nice little pump fake on the screen. Gets the entire defense to bite on it and come up. And then you have Jermaine Wynn running a skinny post easily behind the defense. So nice little pump fake by Rivers. Gets the defense moving. Wynn into the end zone easily.
And the extra point try to come. It is now 40-7 in favor of the Rock. Jermaine Wynn Jr. from 22 yards out from Roland Rivers. Here's the extra point try. It's up and good, and the Rock has taken a 41-7 lead at the 4:38 mark of the third quarter. We'll be back with the kickoff after this 30-second timeout. You've got Slippery Rock University football right here on The Rock Station, 97.7.
Looking for a great price on a clean, dependable pre-owned car? Then head to Honda North. Browse over 7,000 pictures of our used car inventory easily at HondaNorth.net. Every pre-owned car undergoes a 182-point inspection and comes with free Carfax report. And buying from Honda North comes with benefits. Free PA state inspections. Free service loaner cars. And at Honda North, every fifth oil change is free. Buying a pre-owned car is a big deal. At Honda North, we'll help you find the right car for you. Honda North. More cars. Lower prices. Just try us.
This is Wes Hills, running back for Slippery Rock University, and this is Rock Football.
On the Rock Station, 97.7.
And the Rock on an eight-play drive, 57 yards, ends with a Roland Rivers, the third touchdown pass to Jermaine Wynn. 41-7 the score now. The Rock will kick it back off again. And we were kind of jawing a little bit before the game, saying, well, we need the Rock to come out and win this game today and post 50. They're nine away.
I don't think you, I hate to say this, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Gannon, but I don't think you take your foot off the gas pedal if you're Slippery Rock. Obviously, according to the eyes of the voters in the regional rankings, you're only the eighth best team in the region right now, and you need to be in the top seven. So unless you come out here today and absolutely just annihilate Gannon, that's your best bet. So as we do have a flag on the kickoff here, it's going to be offsides against Slippery Rock. I don't think that you let up at all. I think you start to pull some starters. I think some guys like Roland Rivers, Wes Hills, maybe like that, start to come out of the game. But if you have some secondary players on offense on, I think you're still trying to score more points for the rest of this game.
All right, so they are offsides. How many times the Rock has been offsides on kickoffs this year? They've not been able to correct that. But Gannon will take the ball. I don't get it. That'll move the ball up to the 30-yard line as a result of the penalty. And that's where Gannon will start out. First and 10, 4:38 mark at the third quarter. Callaway comes out with the dual backs in the backfield again. Mark Jones, his sidecar left. And here's the handoff, and Jones goes into the pile and has nowhere to go, as the right side of the line completely blown up. Garrett Debian was there, one of the first in, and it's going to be another negative yardage carry for Mark Jones, who just had nowhere to go. He literally stopped running because the field had already blown up in front of him.
This is not your typical Gannon offensive line. They don't nearly have the size that they've had these past few seasons, but even at that, the Rock defense has been playing so well today in the front seven.
Another negative yardage play. And now it'll be second and 12 after the two-yard loss. Here's Callaway. He throws, and it is a knuckleball into the turf, and it is incomplete once again. And he just does not look good throwing the ball at all. That was Richard Mikowski, the intended receiver.
It's not a pretty throwing motion. He's got the elbow way down. It's kind of tucked into the side. And so for him to really deliver over the top, it's just such an awkward-looking throw, and that's why it comes out looking so wobbly.
So now it's a third and 12 for Gannon. Here's the snap to Callaway. He goes to drop back, and here comes pressure. Tim Suave's chasing him. Callaway's running for his life. He runs across the 30, goes out of bounds at the 35. He is about a yard short of getting the first down. And he went out of bounds. Yeah, it'll be fourth and one.
They gave great chase trying to get after Callaway, and on a fourth and one right now, the offense is staying on the field.
Fourth and one, and they'll keep Jones in the backfield. Now they're going to bring some heavyweights in. Two tight ends, as a matter of fact, for blocking purposes. Actually, look at this. Is that three tight ends, and they're going to bring one
into the backfield? Eye formation, man, a little pro set.
Up under center is Callaway. And he snaps it, and he goes forward, and he did not make it. Now there's second effort, and he does. He must have been able to stay up off the turf as he went down low initially, and the surge pushes him right to the 40-yard line. They haven't signaled yet.
No, they haven't. He's got to have it. I mean, they came in right on the 40-yard line. Yeah,
now they're waving. Yeah. They say he just got enough. Under the I formation, under the center, and Callaway gets the 1 yard necessary.
I thought the Rock defense played it well. I mean, it was a second effort that got him the first down. Initially, they had him stop short.
Well, they brought those extra heavyweights in, and they helped push Callaway forward once he went into that pile. So first and 10, now Gannon. And here's a handoff to Jones, and he's shoved out of the backfield by Tim Suave, who wants a penalty. Jones kicks it to the outside, and he's down the sideline. He's going to be hit by Kyle Hall and drag him along with him before he goes out of bounds at the 19-yard line.
There is a flag back here at the 40-yard line.
And this may be coming back. Suave was almost able to catch Jones in the backfield, and he avoided him thanks to the hold, I do believe.
That is the number one reason why coaches don't like running backs reversing fields like that. When the play design is to the left and all of a sudden you bounce it out to the right, your offensive linemen go into panic mode. They're trying to set up their blocks one direction, and all of a sudden when you change, they just start grabbing on. And this is going to be a hold. It's going to be all for naught after a great run, but because of Marcus Jones trying to improvise a little bit, backs him up 10 yards.
So they call, actually, Nico Law, one of the wide receivers, on the hold. That's interesting. It's Gannon now with 9 penalties on the day, and they have been very costly to their progression.
It actually aided spot the foul. Rock.
And,
so
okay, and actually aided the Rock on the last drive of the first half.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. Spot foul, which is at midfield, so that just backs it up to the 40. So essentially, first and 10 all over again.
Now they're going to bring trip receivers to the near side. Jones is still in the backfield with Callaway, who is in the pistol. Here's the snap. He drops back. He's looking downfield. He throws an air ball that's going to be picked off by Dalton Holt, who's then separated from the ball. A nice play on the backside by Jacardi Brooks, who just came in and popped Holt, who couldn't hold on.
Oh,
so he had the interception,
call,
but dropped it.
They're going to call pass interference against Slipper? No. No way. Brooks, the receiver, grabs Spearman and throws him out of the way. That's offensive PI all day.
And the Rock defenders, you can see they're upset. Spearman kind of throwing his hands to the sky like, what are you doing to me? But as a result, it is a penalty against the Rock, and they're going to move into Rock territory. They'll spot the ball at the 45-yard line. So the great play, a horrible throw again, and the Rock is penalized for it. First and 10. Callaway in the pistol, takes the snap, and he's going to run forward. And he goes into the pile and gets a couple and is going forward again, dancing his way down to the 42-yard line, a pickup of 3.
So wherever Callaway came from, which I'm looking up here.
He's from Ohio.
Grafton, Ohio, Midview. Obviously, whatever system they run there in high school is some type of triple option attack. He's a great runner, not much of a thrower. So it's pretty evident that he's just not comfortable in the pocket passing. But whenever he's called on to run the football, he's effective with it.
Second and 7 now for Gannon in Rock territory. And a man in motion. And it's going to be a play fake to Jones, and now they're going to pitch it out to Joey Cox, who was that man in motion, and it'll go a long way sideways, but not forward, no gain.
And Callaway really pitched that one well before he had to. I think he was just afraid of taking a hit and just decided that he wanted to get rid of the football. But because of that, ends up extending the play more as they keep moving towards the sideline, and that allows enough time for the Rock defense to get upfield and make a tackle.
And he actually lost 3 yards back to the 45 officially. So it'll be third and ten now. Backing up, here comes the throw. Callaway throws it, tries to thread the needle to Joey Cox. It's low, and he takes a hit by Spearman. At the end of it, it is slow to get up, but it is an incomplete pass, and it will be fourth down. And we'll take a, he's back up on his feet now. Cox took a shot from Spearman at the end of that play. It was slow to get up, but he is now walking back over to the Gannon sideline. So it'll be 4th and 7, and with the injury timeout, Gannon quickly gathers at the sideline to discuss things. With 52 seconds remaining in the third quarter, the Rock leading 41-7. Gannon on the move, and really just the second time today that they've been into Rock territory.
Yeah, I mean, they actually had some good things going. But yet again, they're going to come away empty-handed on the offensive possession. And while that entire series was happening, you had Taylor King down here on the Slippery Rock sideline warming up. So it looks like we will be seeing him come into the game here.
So now here is a punting situation again, and we'll kick it away even though they were in Rock territory and trailing 41-7. They decide to pin the Rock deep and punt it, and the ball is not going to go it's not going to be touched by Jermaine Wynn. He'll let it go, and it rolls down inside the 10 to the 9. That's where the Rock will take over late in the third quarter. So kind of an interesting decision there. They went for it in their own territory. Of course, it was 4th and 1 at that point, but boy, you're down so big and finally starting to get some offensive momentum, and they just throw their hands to the sky after the negative play prior to that. So the Rock gets the ball back, and it is going to be Taylor King coming out,
as
leading
well
this Rock
as,
defense.
Or offense. Weaver. Sear Weaver in the backfield at running back, so good opportunity for some of these guys. But as I said, Bob, I think you keep trying to score points.
Chris Montanard is into the game as well. He's on the near side. Here's a handoff to Weaver. He goes into the pile and pushes it forward across the 10 to the 11. He'll pick up a quick 2. Nasir Weaver taking over now as Wes Hills ran for 200 yards for the Rock today, and he's done for the day. Braden Fuffman come in relief. Now Nasir into the game as well. The running back, number 26, redshirt junior out of Lancaster Catholic.
And they are going to let the clock wind down in the third quarter.
And we'll go to the fourth quarter, final quarter of this regular season for Slippery Rock University. Let's take a break. We'll be back in 1 minute on The Rock Station 97.7 with The Rock leading 41-7.
Make it Agway all the time. It's Agway.
Count on the Butler Agway for all your farm, lawn and garden, and pet food and supplies made in the USA. At Agway, you'll also find a large selection of bird food and bird feeders. Sauerkraut crocks are a big seller, and they make wonderful gifts. Butler Agway, your complete source for all of your animal feeding needs and supplies. Route 68 west of Butler, the Butler Agway, your holiday shopping source for your animals and all of your best friends.
You take pride in your business, but sometimes it requires some help to keep it going and growing. At Next Tier Bank, you'll find the guidance and expertise you need. In fact, we offer everything from business checking to creative lending solutions to insurance. Simply put, Next Tier Bank is everything you want in a financial partner. And it's the way we've been doing things for generations. It's your future. We want to help you get there. Welcome to Next Tier. NextTierBank.com, 800-262-1088, member FDIC.
Rock football on the station that rocks. The Rock Station, 97.7.
And we're back here to open up the fourth quarter of action, and quickly Taylor King is scrambling to the outside, throws it downfield, intended for Mike Marhot, but it is an uncatchable ball and goes incomplete. It'll bring up a 3rd and 9. For the Rock offense, we also see number 81, Ahmad Morris Walker, into the game. Marhot is in the game as well, Dakota Clannigan, along with Chris Montanard.
In all of the buzz around West Hills and Roland Rivers, you forget that Taylor King threw for over 300 yards in one half against Shippensburg.
Here's a pass down, and it's caught. He threads the needle, and it's caught, and he's going to almost break it for a touchdown. Again, I just mentioned his name, number 85, Quis Montanard catches it big up to the 43-yard line, and he was one tackle away from breaking that for a long touchdown.
Beautiful throw by Taylor King. Put it right on the numbers and allows his receiver to not break stride.
32-yard grab. Now here's play action. King going to keep it. He's got a big hole, and he runs right into the intended tackler and had nowhere to go. Number 84 for the Golden Knights, Shaquan Likely, and he stuffed King at the 50-yard line. That was a hard tackle right there. King gets up, walks away, though, after the 7-yard carry. 2nd and 3. Oh, boy. Gannon, I don't know if that was jumping off sides or if the center, Aaron Waite, moved, but he got clocked. It is off sides. And that's number 95, man. Tyree Sutton, who obviously got fooled by the count.
And he's getting pulled from the game. Oh, man.
So that'll move the Rock up.
That was funny.
And Move them to the 45-yard line. He just blew up the Rock center, Austin Waite. Now here's the snap. King, he's going to hand it off to Weaver. Weaver's got some running room, and he's down to the 40. Picks up a solid five right there on first down. That penalty, by the way, gave the Rock the first down. That was a first down play anyway. I'm sorry. Got excited there. Montanard with the 32-yard grab. I didn't write down the running play. Yeah, I was right. Right first time. It was first down.
Trusher got
first down as a result of the penalty. Because it was second and three after the 7-yard run. Nasir Weaver that time for five. Now here's going to be a pitch play to the outside. And Weaver, he's got the first down. Puts a shoulder into the defensive back and leaves him on the turf. And he gets to the 30-yard line. It'll be another first down for the Rock. Nasir Weaver showing some toughness.
And a nice block on the outside by Montanard, who's having a really nice series. He just pushes his defender to the sideline and allows Weaver to get that yardage necessary for the first down.
12:49 mark of the fourth quarter. The Rock up 41-7. They're threatening again. As Taylor King is taken over for Roland Rivers, who was 16 of 24 today, 181 yards, two touchdowns, did not have an interception, was sacked once. Here's a little screen attempt by King, and he tries to thread the needle to the outside to number 84, Jesse Nwabuzie Ogbo, the tight end, but it got tipped. It was coming his way, and that tip knocked it over his head, incomplete.
Nice little improv there by Taylor King, rolling out to his left and still keeping his eyes upfield. And honestly, if he was able to get that one through, it was going to be an easy first down. So nice eyes by Taylor King, just couldn't connect.
Second and 10 now. And receiver split to each side. Here comes the snap. King going to hand it off to Weaver, and he goes into the pile and picks up a yard, takes it to the 29 before being shoved back, but forward progression gives him a yard. And that'll bring up third down. It'll be a third and nine.
Also seeing Matt Carr check into the game now to play center as Austin Waite goes off. He's kind of letting his left arm dangle a little bit there. So keep an eye on that as well for the starting center.
Who's done a really nice job this year. You know, it was a little rough out of the gate. Remember the snapping problems that they had, and he really settled that down efficiently. So third and nine now. Waite is not being attended to at this point, but is in some discomfort, and here's some pre-snap flags. The Rock going to be moving backward as a result.
For 88, so they're going to get A.J. Alexander, who I don't even think is on the field, is he? Oh, yeah, he is. Okay.
So this will move the Rock back over the 40, make it a third and extra longer. I'm sorry, over the 30 to the 34-yard line and make it third and 14 now. Taylor King leads everybody back to the line. Alexander in at tight end. Double receivers near side. Three receivers set for the Rock. Here's King. Drops back. Here comes pressure, so he dumps it off to Weaver. Weaver's got some running room. Makes a tackle miss. Spins out of another and fumbles, but he recovers it. Fumbled at the 25, and he was right there. It kind of bounced like a basketball right back up into his arm. And as a result, he will come off the field for putting the ball on the turf and be replaced by Braden Fuffman.
He knew it, too. He came up and was just working his way towards the sidelines. Yeah, I know.
9-yard carry for number 26, and now Braden Fuffman comes in. It'll be fourth and five as the clock continues to turn now at 10:55 of the fourth quarter. So fourth down, they're going for.
See if they go run or pass here. If they're going to stay aggressive, I don't mind throwing it.
And they're going to throw, and he does, to Alexander, who's got the first down. He went right to the first down marker, caught it, and falls forward for a yard and points it out that he got the first down.
In the first half when he did that, he was wrong. He was short of the first down. So this time he actually gets the first down. But just a simple little crossing pattern. Gets 5 yards upfield, cuts across the middle. Taylor King puts it right on the numbers. So a good-looking route combo and pass there by Alexander and King.
And as a result, the chains move. Ball down to the 18. First and 10, new set of downs for the Rock. Fuffman, sidecar to the left, and he's going to take, no, he's going to play fake his King, and he's going to be snowed under. He'll just drop to the turf as he's hit
Not really
in the backfield.
Sure what he was looking at there, as there was just nothing on that side of the field as he looked at. I mean, it looked like a designed rollout to his left, but there was just absolutely nothing there. So not sure what happened on that play.
Well, he is tackled behind the line of scrimmage for -4. And so now that'll bring up 2nd and 15 after the 7-yard pass play to Alexander. This will be the 11th play of this drive, right? 12th play, actually. Here's the snap, and King's going to throw, and there's interference as the ball is knocked away, and there now there comes the flag. I was going to say he reached right in front of Ahmad Morris Walker and knocked the ball down, but it was because he was roughing up Walker at the same time.
Just there's came the flag. In so late.
And it is pass interference.
That'll buy a first down. Keep the drive alive.
So, move the ball inside the 15 down to the 14-yard line. It'll be a first down as a result of the flag. And Iraq now in the red zone.
Yeah, not only are you flirting with some points, but, man, they've taken some serious time off the clock on this drive as well.
The clock continues to turn. Actually, it's stopped now at 9:23. Stopped on the incompletion, obviously. As Alexander, the tight end, goes in motion. And it'll be a handoff to Weaver, and he tries to stretch it out, and he's going to be able to do so, and gets hit very hard by James Sims, but not before he got inside the 10 down to the 9, and he picks up 5.
What a burst by Weaver as he got that pass and just shot, or I'm sorry, that handoff, and just shot like a rocket towards the sideline. His only plan on that play was just to try to outrun the defender to the edge, and he did exactly that.
This will be the 13th play of this drive for the Rock that began at their own 9-yard line. 2nd and 5. Check with me to the sideline for King. And obviously going to let some time wind off the clock. Now he's going to get his team to the line of scrimmage with only 5 seconds remaining on the play clock. And he'll get the snap with 1 second remaining. It's going to be a pitch play to the outside, and Weaver loses the handle as the ball goes out of bounds, and here comes a flag. In the interior of the line, let's see what this is about. Weaver just never got that. It was a pitch play from King, and it went right past him. He got a hand on it and never received it. Let's see what the flag is about.
Yeah, it came in well away from the action on that play.
It was in the middle of the line is where the ball or the flag landed, and the play was on the far sideline.
Chop block against Slippery Rock.
So that'll be pushing the Rock now back out of the red zone.
Yeah.
So the 24 is where they'll spot the ball now. And another, well, no, they're just throwing the flag back to the umpire who threw the flag. So it'll make it 2nd and 20. They can get a first down at the 4-yard line, but back out of the red zone now is the Rock offense. King in the shotgun, takes the snap. He's looking near side. Now he looks middle. Now he throws. Oh, and a beautiful catch down to the 5-yard line. Is that Walker Morris again? No,
that's Montanard.
That's Chris Montanard, who had the big pass play earlier.
It's pretty similar, a post pattern across the field, and Taylor King has put it right on the 85 both times for Montanard. Good-looking combination there between those two right now.
And
Gannon player down the turf.
And the ball down to the 5, so it'll be a 3rd and 1. Yeah, Montanard with that 32-yard grab earlier. And now picks up 18 and puts the Rock back on the doorstep here. Now it'll be 3rd and 1. From the 5-yard line, and the Gannon player is up and walking off under his own power. 41-7 the score, just under 8 minutes to go in the game for the Rock.
Not to sound like a mean guy, but that was one of the starting corners that went out, so whoever came in to replace him, maybe you throw that direction here on third down.
Well, let's see what they do as Taylor King brings everybody back out. As the clock spins under 7:50. King in the shotgun takes the snap. Delayed handoff to Weaver, who avoids a tackle, but he gets the first down. He's right at the first down marker. Let's make sure they wave it on.
Yeah, it's going to really depend on the spot. That spot right now is close.
Let's see. The line judge looked like he was going to motion first down, but they haven't in the interior
yet. Yeah,
they're going to measure this. An official timeout as they want to bring the chains out. So it looked like he got it from our vantage point, but then the officials came in the backside. So we'll see what the measurement is.
I'm just trying. How long has this drive been as far as time? I mean, Slippery Rock, I feel like it's had the ball for ages.
So far.
Short. Oh.
Didn't make it. So it'll be fourth and inches for the Rock, and I'm sure they'll go for it here. Well, we've got, 14 plays already on this drive. And unfortunately, I always write down the time, and this time I didn't. So, whatever reason.
Why would you admit that on air?
Just being honest. There was 4:38 to go when Gannon started their drive, and
Miscommunication on the snap there.
Yeah, and it's a bad snap, and
as
a result, Gannon is going to get the ball. So the Rock scoring drive is over.
Whether it was a fumble or just a turnover on downs, either way, it's going to go back to Gannon. So
yeah,
Golden Knights take over. If nothing else, you took a ton of time off the clock. I mean, that was a really long drive, so sure you didn't get any points, but you're up 41-7, so really held the ball and just milked a lot of clock off this game.
Looked like King still had the ball, but he's knocked down right at the five, so they lose a yard, or actually no gain, and as a result, it's a turnover on downs. 7:10 mark of the fourth quarter now. So that had to have been, what, 8 minutes and 29 seconds, to be exact, was that drive. They took 8 minutes off the clock.
When's the last time we see Slippery Rock offense have an 8-minute drive?
They've had a few sevens this year. Now here's the handoff inside, and it's going to be all for naught, no gain. A lot of action, but nothing happening.
No Marcus Jones on the field for Gannon.
Yeah, the ball carrier was Melvin Blanks that time, and he went, well, I guess we got to give him a yard.
Yeah, that Gannon sideline looking pretty dejected right now. Been a tough day for them, that's for sure.
So it'll be second and 10. Here's the snap. Callaway now going to run it. And he's going to be hit as he gets to the line of scrimmage for no gain. It'll be third down. 6:26 to go in the game as the clock turns.
Essentially, wildcat offense there. It's just a design run off the left tackle and really well defended by the Rock defense, even against the numbers, because that's the whole benefit of a wildcat offense, is that the running back becomes the lead blocker, and so numbers, you have the advantage, but Rock, well defended.
Third and, well, they gave him a half a yard on that. We'll give it third and 9. Trip receivers near side. Callaway drops back. He's looking. Looks across the middle. Now he's going to have to scramble. Now he'll dump it off, and he has a man on the far side. It's caught for the first down. And that is that Alec Hutchins, the tight end, who pulls it in, moves the chains as the ball is out to the 26-yard line, and they'll pick up 15.
Rodez Henderson for Slippery Rock comes off the field asking for a sub, so he's pointing towards his arm a little bit. Just some stingers today, it seems like, for these guys.
You know, I was looking at Austin Waite down here. He's chatting away with some of his other linemen and looks okay at this point. Here's Callaway, drops back, throws way downfield, and nobody there. The nearest receiver was at about the 50, maybe 48-yard line, and it hit all the way down at the 37-yard line, so he overthrew that dramatically, incomplete.
You got to at least give your receiver a chance, right?
Yeah.
Not even close.
So it'll be second and 10. As we have two receivers to the near side. And here's the rollout by Callaway, and here comes the pressure. And a sack missed. He throws it to the near side, trying to get Mikowski, and it's incomplete. And whiffing on a sack possibility was Arison Sanders.
What I don't get from a play call perspective is that Callaway has not looked good standing in the pocket and throwing today. So what makes the Gannon coaching staff think that he'll have a better time throwing the ball on the run? I mean, that was a design quarterback rollout, and he hasn't thrown the ball well standing still. Why would he throw it well on the run?
Third and 10 now for Gannon. Trip receivers near side. Callaway looking up top. Throws, almost picked off. He wanted to get that to Nico Law, but the Spearman. Ball is incomplete. Tyree Spearman was there and almost picked that off. And it'll be a punting situation, fourth down.
Well, we've now hit the point in the game where 5 minutes to go, 41-7. At this point, stay healthy, get off the field, move on to next week in a PSAC championship game here at home.
Good to see Spearman out there today. He's done a nice job. He was banged up last week, but was able to go today. Didn't think he was going to be out there. Jermaine Wynn and Mark Carter are back deep. Here comes the punt. It's a high kick, and Wynn is going to back away from it and let it hit at the 31 where it goes out of bounds. Slippery Rock will take over, 4:57 to go, and they don't have enough time on the clock to do what they did the last time around, and that was hold the ball for 8 minutes and 29 seconds. 41-7, the Rock leading here late in the fourth.
Well, you still get valuable reps here for some guys that don't typically get into the game. Taylor King, Nasir Weaver, some of these young wide receivers getting in here. And, you know, it's always great to see senior guys out there. Wes Hills in the huddle out there with the rest of the offense, you know, barking out some orders, trying to get these guys amped up. So good to see the senior leadership still backing these guys right now.
Comes Taylor King. He'll have Braden Fuffman as a sidecar left as Jermaine Wynn plays some air guitar on the sideline. So a lot of good feeling green and white players. Here's a keeper. King trying to get to the outside and is able to get a yard out of it, maybe two. Looks like no. They'll give him a yard at the 31.
Boy, what I'd be curious to look at, the last time that you had a Slippery Rock team go perfect in divisional play.
How about it?
Because that's what we're looking at.
Yeah.
With the win here against Gannon. They'll be perfect in PSAC West play.
And if Taylor King is able to execute a snap in the end zone, it could be a perfect season, too. Yeah. Remember that back to Shippensburg when it just went right through his hands. It was a little bit high. It wasn't a bad snap. It just was a hair high, but I think he just took his eyes off it, and it resulted in a loss. Now he takes the snap, hands it off to Braden Fuffman, who goes forward to the 38-yard line. Up, check that, 34-yard line. They move it back now to the 33. So he picks up two on that one. He was 5 yards ahead, trying to get closer to the first down. 3:52, clock turns. They get a first down here. They can effectively wind the clock down to almost nil. Let's see how they do it. Up, a little jump by Gannon, but they get back. Jay Bullock, defensive lineman, hop, but on the check with me, gets back. And here's the snap. Here's King. Here comes pressure. Throws downfield. And I don't know where he was throwing it to, because Ahmad Morris Walker turned inside and he threw it to the outside.
Yep. Looks like King was expecting a deep out. Instead, Morris Walker runs the dig across the middle, and miscommunication. That's going to happen with some of these guys, as they're just not used to playing together as much. And luckily falls to the turf incomplete instead of being picked off, and it'll just be a punting situation.
So fourth and 7, here comes Jake Chaplin to boot it away. Back deep, Nico Law. He'll be standing at his 29-yard line. Chapla standing at his 19. And we have a pre-snap
delay game.
Flag coming in. It'll be a delay. Move the ball back 5 as the clock is now to 3:27.
Good to see the officials still taking their job seriously. I mean, come on. Give them like a second or two to throw it right when it hits zeros.
Here comes the snap. Now Chapla standing at his 14. And, oh, a late kick, and he gets run into by his own man. And the ball is going to hit and be down. That was that?
It was a fair catch by Gannon.
Oh, okay. John Eakin out there kind of bumped into his own man.
A really disappointing season for the Gannon Golden Knights, a team that always comes in with really high expectations. You knew they had Marcus Jones coming back, and so you had high hopes for this team, and it did just not pan out for them this season.
Here's Callaway in the pistol formation, first and 10 at the 39. Drops back. Here comes pressure. He's hit by Tim Suave, and he'll be sacked. Tim Suave, number 32. Comes up with the sack. And also assisting on that was Jonathan Boone. Yeah, next week, Gannon will host Lockhaven to wrap up their year, but this is going to drop them to 2-8 on the season. And 2-5 in the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference Western Division. The Rock going to improve to 9-1 and run perfect in the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference Western Division. Clock down to 2:42. Second and 16 now. Here's the snap. Empty backfield for Callaway. Here comes the pressure again. He avoids it and rushes. And he's going to be tackled as he gets to the original line of scrimmage before he is pulled down by Terrell Gabriel. And it'll be third down.
So my question is then, just because I have not seen the footage, what in the heck happened in California on October 13th? That Gannon was able to beat them by 14.
You know, Gannon always seems to play the Vulcans very tough. I mean, they always play the Rock very tough, but, well, it was a different quarterback scenario.
That's true.
Obviously,
yep, that's
they
right.
went through some injuries at quarterback. That's why you have Callaway out there today. But, yeah, they must have just put together the perfect day. And, well, the biggest thing was that day they could not stop Mark Jones.
That's true, yep.
And California couldn't stop Wes Hills either. So they found some holes by some good running backs. So that's a first down play. Moves the ball to the 50, minute 43 to go. Clock continues to wind. Here's the snap to Callaway. Drops back, looking downfield. Now he steps up, almost is sacked again, but he avoids, bounces it out, throws to the outside, throws it downfield to Richard Mikowski, who's got it. He's got a first down into Rock territory, down to the 31-yard line, but the clock will continue to turn. It'll stop for the moment as they set the chains and then wind back up again at a minute 28 and moving. 41-7 the score. Gannon trying to climb out of the single digits here. Here's the snap. Callaway looking downfield. Oh, he goes to throw the ball, and is it knocked out of his hands, or did he lose it? Then here comes the flag. Now it's picked up by the Rock as he tried to scramble away. Picking it up is Terrell Gabriel, and he's going to run for a touchdown. If it stands, Terrell Gabriel will have his second touchdown of the season defensively.
We'll see what happens. As yeah, you said, there's multiple flags, but the official comes right over and talks to Sean Lutz, and his holding against Gannon will be declined, and there we go, touchdown stands. So nice little addition there at the end of this game for those regional voters to see some more points on the board for Slippery Rock.
Well, how about it? You had Callaway there. I don't know if somebody got a hand on him. It just looked like he went to wind up and throw downfield and lost the handle.
I think the first time, he simply just dropped it.
I think the
second time it was batted because he picked it up. And the second time, I think someone did get a hand on it. But, yeah, that first time, he just went to throw and just dropped it.
How about Terrell Gabriel? Runs it back for the touchdown. And the Rock now up 47-7 with the extra point try to come on the defensive touchdown. Terrell Gabriel, he scored in the Millersville game, if you remember. And I believe that was a pick six, if I remember correctly. And there's the snap. The kick is up, and it is good. 48-7 now in favor of Slippery Rock. Well, we're going to get close to 50 today with a minute three left in the game.
So when you look back at where this team's at now, how we got to this point, tough loss against Shippensburg. Came back the next week, another long road trip, beat Millersville the way they should have. Back home, beat Seton Hill the way they should have. ever since, I've kind of marked that Mercyhurst game, September 29th, where they won 41-21. I think you're seeing a supremely confident Slippery Rock team, both offensively and defensively. Ever since then, you know, it was a three-point game with IUP, kind of a grinded-out game with Clarion, but they've been handling their business ever since early on in the season, and they're just confident right now. This team feels good about what they can do in 60 minutes a game.
And they've looked pretty good doing it. And today, toning down the penalties,
yes,
which was a good thing.
Yes. Yep.
I think you had one 15-yard penalty after the play.
Yep.
And that was good to see because that's been a real bugaboo for them. So Roland Rivers, to me, not playing his best football right now, but it's still more than effective.
Yeah.
It's still more than effective.
When you have Wes Hills with, what, three straight games of 200-plus rushing yards now? I mean, you don't need to throw a bunch. Like, when your running back's doing that kind of stuff, then you just turn around and hand it to number four.
And not that he's been terrible. I mean, he was 16-24, 181 yards and two touchdowns today.
Yep.
You look at that and say, all right, but there were a number of plays. Well, this would be a 60-point game right now if he linked up a couple of the throws that he misfired on. That's okay, because they're leading it 48-7. Here's the boot. And it's taken at the 15, or I mean the 5, and up across the 15-20, still alive, is the return man, A.J. Satcher, and he's dropped at the 33-yard line, and there are 54 seconds remaining to tick off on the clock. And the sun is back out, smiling here in a November weekend. Don't forget to gain an extra hour of sleep tonight. You get to turn your clocks back, fall back tonight. Election day on Tuesday. Certainly hope everybody out there listening will get out and cast your vote in this important election coming up on Tuesday. And the Butler Radio Network will have coverage of election returns beginning at 9 o'clock on WBUT and WBUT.com. WISR will join in after the Penguin game on Tuesday. And we'll wind 54 seconds from the clock here. First and 10, Callaway takes the snap in the pistol. And he will hand the ball off to Melvin Blanks.
The reason I went back to that Mercyhurst game is because Millersville would have been the first game you had Roland Rivers in at quarterback. So Millersville and Seton Hill, you still had Rivers kind of getting his feet underneath them, learning the offense. Seton Hill was the first game you had Wes Hills back. So Mercyhurst was that first game where you had an experienced quarterback with the system, your star running back, and ever since then, it's just been steamrolling.
And they jumped out to that huge lead in that game as Blanks takes the ball again and carries it out to the 39-yard line, a gain of four there. He gained three on the initial carry as the clock will continue to wind, and that'll do it. That'll be the last play.
Well, they're going to try to snap it.
They're going to try to get it snapped here, but 2 seconds, 1 second, they get it snapped. And, as a result, coming in on the play, Arison Sanders levels Callaway for the sack to end the game.
That's what you get. If you want to try to run a cheap play like that at the end of the game, you're going to get your quarterback blasted in Sanders.
Yeah, and they certainly did that. So Callaway goes to the turf, and that ends the game. The Rock comes away with a 48-7 victory. We'll be back to recap it and set up the state championship game for next week when we return. Rock football here on the Rock Station, 97.7 FM.